To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we are awaiting Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. As soon as they step up to the podium, we will carry that live right here on 96.5 The Fan. Obviously a busy Wednesday. We'll get back into the news of the day in the noon hour, probably a little closer to 12:20 or so, with Kansas State head coach Chris Klieman stepping down, reportedly. Press conference, 4 o'clock today, going to retire, at least for the time being, as Tim Fitzgerald from Go Powercat told us. He's convinced that maybe in the future he can still coach at a lower level or something like that. Colin Klein, though, expected to become the next head coach of the Kansas State Wildcats. If you missed our conversation with Tim Fitzgerald, it'll be podcasted up on the Odyssey app or anywhere you get your podcast as well. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us here on a Wednesday. Matthew Berry is going to also join us from DraftKings. Also, Matthew Berry, FantasyLife.com. He'll join us around 12:40. And Kling coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Busy show today. I love when we get some breaking news during the show or right before the show. And today is one of those days, man.
It really is. Super, super busy, obviously. And we're still trying to figure out if the Chiefs are going to, at any point.
We haven't even got to KU losing to UConn last night. Missouri losing to Notre Dame. We haven't got there yet.
They all blew it.
Yeah.
Kansas even more so. Kansas had control of that game in half.
And then five field goals in the second half, man. Well,
they shoot like 20% in the second half?
Field goals in the second half. If you thought there that we all knew they need Darren Peterson, but that stretch of time where they couldn't buy a bucket, that right there is where it was so evident, not having Darren Peterson. I thought Missouri, and I'll admit I was going back and forth and mainly watching the KU game, and no, shocking, right? But
what
I know, stunner. Also, that was the top 25 matchup.
Oh, that felt like
Missouri.
You homer.
Missouri at halftime, I thought they were going to cruise the way that thing was trending. And I don't know what the hell happened in the second half.
Yeah, they both fell apart.
Kansas, going to the game, we talked about it yesterday. I did not think Kansas was winning last night. Once we found out Darren Peterson was not winning, on this show, we said, I don't think they're going to win. Now, the way they played in the first half, I got my hopes up a little bit, admittedly. But that was a game I think both teams are going to look back and regret. And now they play each other on Sunday. Something's got to give.
Yeah, one way or the other. We got to figure it out. And now I'm excited about that game on Sunday, for what it's worth. I know we'll talk more about it later in the week, but at least there's that. I am curious whether or not Andy continues to say clean things up, Patrick Mahomes say they're close.
Well, I don't think he's gonna say this again.
Here's my tonsil, I guess. Go ahead and tickle it.
That was Nate Taylor talking about what Andy had to say.
We're gonna try to tickle your tonsils.
I don't think he's gonna say that again today.
You don't think so?
If he does, then he's just playing, he's just completely toying with the media at that point.
You think he's just messing with us? He's just looking for fun things to say just to keep us at bay from asking real questions about what's wrong with the team? They're 6-6 with Patrick Mahomes playing good football.
We do have stats.
There is a real question, though, that can come from the tonsil comment though is what does that look like on Sunday? Like if that's what you right. want to do, then what does that look like on Sunday night?
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to ask about that anymore. They're going to move on from that.
Yeah. It's hard to say, at least on that end, but we'll see. We'll hear from him in just a moment.
I saw this. I don't know if it's a, it's not really a deep conversation probably to have, but this was just floating around on Twitter yesterday and just going through the Patrick Mahomes era when it's, you know, the cold weather aspect of it and compared to what the Texans are dealing with. They, of course, play in a dome and everything like this. Yep. Everything like that, I should say. And I was surprised to see, I don't know, were you, the record, what do you think Patrick Mahomes' record is when the temperature is what it's supposed to be potentially?
Despite the fact he's a Texas kid, I remember in the playoffs, he was probably at some point undefeated. So I would guess he's like, I don't know, he wins 90%, like most Patrick Mahomes stats. 90% of games when the weather's cold. Certainly beat the hell out of Miami the last time I remember being freezing cold. What's his record?
The Chiefs are 20-0 at home in games under 40.
What now?
Yeah. No, look, he's got a great home record anyway, but 20-0 in games under 40. Now, this is not my stat, okay? I'll admit, I did not cross-check it. I didn't go back through weather forecast.
I'm
but
assuming it's
20-0 at home in games under 40 degrees with Mahomes as the starting quarterback.
I mean, so I'm to assume, because this is the problem. Every stat like this for the Chiefs
has not worked out this year?
No, it's been the opposite. I don't even want to hear it is part of the truth. It's not like a knock on where they are. It's that they win 99% of games in which, like, you know how many games, you know what percentage of NFL games teams win when a quarterback does not turn the ball over and throws four passing touchdowns? They win like 97.5%, 98% of those football games. Chiefs win that last one on Thursday? No. The Chiefs record when they're off a bye week. The Chiefs record, this is like a weird year where this stat has burned them so many times. Now, I will say the Colts should affect Houston. It should specifically affect their offense. This goes back to where we think they are, and we'll talk more about this, I'm
it's
sure.
It's weird. I mean, I'm with you. Like, C.J. Stroud played at Ohio State. It was cold. Like, yeah. I don't know. It sometimes I do think it gets overblown. In general, I'll just say this about the Texans, and later on in the week, you know, Thursday and Friday, we'll talk more about like how we actually think the game is going to play out. But we know about the defense. Offensively, I still am not impressed with the Texans' offense. Like, that's the one thing. As much as I think it's a matchup to just mess for the Chiefs' offensive line against the Texans' defense, I don't think the Texans' offense by any means is a bad matchup for the Chiefs' defense. Say what you will about the pass rush. Like, the Chiefs just played the Cowboys' offense with Pickens and Lamb and Dak and a great offensive line. Not the same
team.
Thing.
They have been better at home, so I still think there's something to that.
All right, let's go out to Arrowhead. Andy Reid speaking live right here on 96.5 The Fan.
The guys that will not practice today are Roland Wallace with his back. He is making progress. And then Josh Simmons ended up having surgery on that wrist for a fracture and a dislocation. He'll go on to IR, and then we'll just see about the recovery on that, where it goes from there. And then Trey and Juwan won't practice today, but they're making progress going forward. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Texans, a good football team. D'Amico's done a great job down there with that crew. And so we know we've got to have a good week of practice, and the guys were in here today beginning that part. So anyways, with that, time's yours. Esapoa, by the way, will take that spot. Yeah, he'll be the one elevated.
Coach, just on Josh's front, he's been through so much kind of stuff this year. How disappointing is it for him? How's he kind of doing on the emotional side of this about having to go down for a while?
Yeah, so listen, your kid loves to play football, and, you know, that's that part. You know, he's depressed about that part. You know, well, that's probably the wrong word to say, but he's down about that part. But he's upbeat. I mean, the surgery went well, which was a real positive. And so he feels good about that. And then it's just a matter of coming back. He's did a great job with his knee coming back. He's a worker, so he's whatever he can do to rehab it, he's going to do. That's just how he rolls. So, but, yeah.
So potential view here is hopefully have him available for the postseason. Is that what you're probably looking for?
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. They've got to wait just a little bit on that, Herbie, and see how that goes with his recovery. But there's always that chance. Yeah.
And with Trey and Juwan, you know, Jalen and Wanye are probably the ones in line to step up. Just in my counting them too. How have you seen them evolve over the course of your practice with the play time?
Yeah, I mean, the one positive is two of the three of them played against them last year, so they're a good job. So that they know what they're up against. That's a great defensive front. Great defense. I mean, all three levels are really good, and they're number one in a lot of categories there. So defensively, but those guys they're getting themselves ready to go. Yeah.
A couple of moving parts there now on the offensive line. Is Jalen Moore going to be the first man up over on left tackle, or are you visioning probably right tackle for him?
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with the injured guys first. But yeah, that would probably be he'd probably be at the right tackle and Wanye at the left if that's the way it went. Yeah.
Coach, how important has Creed Humphrey been to these last couple of years?
Yeah, all pro, helpful. He's a great player there, and a great person, stable. So just you're gonna get the same thing every day, and he's gonna prep the same way every day, and he's dirty, tough, and strong. So smart.
Andy, when you look at just the fourth quarters that you guys have had, you guys have been in every game, even the ones that you've lost. So do you do something different to work on the execution in those moments?
Yeah, what we need to do is take care of some of the little things, the penalty things that take you out of drives. So you're not scrambling, as you go there. You gotta clean that up. And then some of that, I gotta give the guys the right plays to try to execute to their strengths. So coaching's part of it, playing is part of it, and we all have a piece of that pie. But, you surely, against good teams, you can't have this discrepancy or distance between the other team's penalties and your penalties. That shouldn't happen that way in a football game. Okay. Right or wrong. So I'm not saying they're all correct. I'm just saying when one team's got a bunch and the other team, that's not good for anybody.
The guys were able to get away for three or four good days. I guess as you approached these last five, what was the message to the team as you attack it?
So it buys the coaches time to go back and give them some answers to things, and which is a positive, and then let's go. So you're in the month of December. And you're still in it, so let's go. That's what's important.
And you mentioned it on Monday, but how do you get the pass rush going?
Yeah, well, I can't tell you exactly, but I mean, we're going to try and make it better. To start with, you've got to win some individual battles, but there are other things that Spags has that he uses there too. So.
As you mentioned, their defense gets after the quarterback pretty well. What specifically is it about Houston's defense that you've seen, especially over this past little bit, where they've gotten hot?
Yeah, so, it starts up front. They've got an active front. And I think their linebackers, likewise, are tuned in. They can run, tackle, very sound that way. Their back end, likewise, they've got talent on the back end. All three levels, they're solid, and I think they all work together. So they've done a nice job.
Andy, on Monday you mentioned positive attitude a lot, attacking with positive attitude. I'm sure there's times where you want to get the team going, kick them in the butt a little bit. Why is it important right now for you guys to maintain positivity through what you're doing?
I'm big on reality. What's real? Why are we where we are? What can we do to fix that? So that's what I look at and try to give the guys that so they have something to work on. Likewise, as a coach, that's how I look at it for myself, for the coaches. Where are the problems, and let's work on fixing those. And if you do that, it takes your energy to get it right, and that's what we're striving to do.
So I guess what do you see with the reality of this team right now?
Yeah, that we're very close. So we just got to take care of business. I mean, whatever I say here or whatever I say, it's what you do. I mean, that's where you're at. So you gotta do it and fix the issues there because we're very close.
Matt, Coach, what are the chances we could still see Nazi Johnson from injured reserve come back before the end of the year?
Yeah, we'll have to see on that, Matt. There's always that chance, but we'll have to see where that goes.
You mentioned Poles is taking Simmons' spot. I guess what would you guys like to get him back here, and how confident are you in his ability?
Yeah, we thought we saw some talent there, and he knows the scheme, obviously, and we thought there was some growth. He could be a guy that works in somewhere. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
All right.
All right, that was Andy Reid right here on KFNZ FM and AM HD1, HD2, Kansas City and Odyssey Station. Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. We're expected to hear from Patrick Mahomes in just a couple of minutes. A few things stood out there. Number one, just off the top, as expected, unfortunately, Josh Simmons did have surgery for that fractured wrist. He's going to go on IR. You heard Andy mention that Trey Smith and Juwan Taylor not going to practice, just said they're making progress. The part that stood out to us, Cody, though, was when Andy was asked about what the plan would be if Juwan Taylor is not available on Sunday.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with the injured guys first. But yeah, that would probably be, he'd probably be at the right tackle and Wanye at the left if that's the way it went.
Wanye would be left and Jalen Moore would be right tackle. If Juwan Taylor,
Will Anderson?
If Juwan Taylor doesn't play, Wanye Moore is going to be left tackle on Sunday. Oh boy.
So,
yikes.
Obviously, that doesn't make you feel great. It'd be pretty hard to spin that.
So do you think
way.
This is more,
I think this
Wanye's more comfortable at left than right? Cause Jalen Moore, he can play left or right.
If Jalen Moore plays, I would think, Juwan Taylor plays, I would think Jalen Moore would still be the first choice at left tackle.
I agree with that.
That seems like the obvious.
Well, cause we already saw that play out earlier when Josh Simmons was away for his absence. Jalen Moore was the left tackle.
We have spent a bunch of practice time, and Wanye Morris is a whole hell of a lot more comfortable playing left than he is playing right. Mm. Maybe because it's what he's played his entire time. Maybe it's because he's a second backup tackle, because Jalen Moore's your first backup tackle. But I think this is a comfort thing for Wanye and less about Jalen Moore's confidence in left. I would say hope Juwan Taylor gets back to practice soon. But it's Wednesday and they're not practicing. Andy's general rule is if you don't practice, you don't play. Although I would say Trey Smith and Juwan Taylor are probably the exceptions here. If he thought they could go on Sunday and not practice this week, he'd probably still put them in, considering the importance of the game, the time in there maybe. So we might not know until Sunday. Remember, some of the rumors were that people weren't expecting Trey Smith to play, but that Juwan Taylor had at least a chance to play. So I guess we'll see.
It has to be just that they don't think Wanye is capable of playing right tackle. And I know the joke there, someone would say he's not capable of playing left tackle, but you get the point. Like, they must truly feel like there's no way Wanye can play right tackle. That would be the only thing that makes sense here in this. Why?
Yeah.
If both tackles were down.
But it doesn't make me feel good about it.
Oh, no, I'm not saying I feel good about it. I'm just saying, for those saying, why are they doing that? Because
they don't think Wanye can play right.
Yeah, as bad as it might be at left tackle, they're saying, no, it'd be even worse at right tackle.
Yeah.
There's a chance if he plays left tackle, they can figure it out.
It's a comfort thing. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes in just a minute. Don't forget, Jefferson is our Wednesday's lunch partner here at Cody and Gold. It's football season. No better place to watch your football team than isn't Jefferson's. Great daily specials. Great happy hour locations. Lenexa, North Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, and Joplin. So bring your friends and family out to Jefferson's for the ultimate game day experience. Wings, burgers, oysters, and if your caller number, let's just call it Mahomes' number, right? Because we're here for him in a minute.
Yep.
Number 15, you can get a $50 gift card and head to Jefferson's yourself. Get some wings on your own. We're going to burger or a million other things. They got a massive menu there, as you know, Gold.
We are going to wait for Patrick Mahomes. They moved the order around a little bit, so it's going to be probably at least another 5-plus minutes before Patrick Mahomes speaks, and we will go right out there. You're not missing Mahomes talking, but just a heads up, if you're wondering, normally we would go right to Mahomes, but that's why we're going to talk about something else for a little bit, and then when Mahomes is ready at the podium, we'll go back out there. I want to get back to the breaking news, though, Cody, of the day, and that, of course, is in Manhattan, Kansas, where Colin Klein is going to become the next head coach, according to multiple reports, of the Wildcats, with Chris Kleiman announcing he's going to step down at a press conference today. That's coming up at 4:00. Obviously, tune into the drive this afternoon for that, or at least cuts from that. I'm not sure what their plan is there. But obviously, that is when Gene Taylor, the athletic director, is going to speak. And we had Tim Fitzgerald on from GoPowerCat.com. He said there were some rumors yesterday, and it just kind of continued to blow up and blow up. And then ultimately we got to the point where today the Manhattan Mercury was first to report the news that Colin Klein would take over, that Chris Kleiman would step down. Now, you heard from Fitz earlier. He said his understanding is that Kleiman is going to coach in the bowl game, and so he'll have one final game, kind of celebrate, I guess, his tenure. Obviously, they won a Big 12 title with him. And then Colin Klein is expected to still be the OC for A&M during the college football playoff while trying to put together a staff and everything like that. But they're going to have both kind of operating at the same time.
This happens, so it's not like we don't have to pretend like no team has ever hired a coordinator who stayed on with their team and then also had to build a staff at the same time. So not breaking new ground. A lot of it is just that Colin Klein is young. He is 36 years old. It will make him the second youngest head coach in all of college football. And so he's going to have to, he's not going to have the experience some of these other guys have at handling both these things at the same time. And then he's going to figure it out. Look, the Klein hire is an obvious one. Once you get past the shock of Kleiman just hanging it up.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously in talking to Tim Fitzgerald, or you watch his emotions and all this stuff, it seems to me the prevailing story, and Chris Kleiman can answer this for himself more, there is a press conference scheduled at 4 o'clock. They were supposed to address the media today at 11. They pushed it back to 4, probably to get their ducks in a row so he can address the retirement rumors. And I assume Gold announced he's retiring. I think there's a pretty good chance. At 4 o'clock is how this will go down. I don't think they're going to try to deny it when it comes down to it later. It's the Kleiman one shocks because you're like, well, you just didn't like it? Seems like he didn't like everything that the job meant. He loved coaching college football, and he got to do it at a different level. At the time, Drew, you mentioned North Dakota State. They're Division I now, but when he was coaching there, they weren't.
FCS. Was he? Which is part of D1.
It technically is D1, but it is a different level of D. It is a lower level of D1, yes.
So it's like when you look at where he was, it was just a different level, different program requirements, different NIL needs. And it was, some of it was because he's been at K-State now for 7 years, a different era, a pre-era of NIL was still coaching there. I think he just didn't. I don't think he liked the way the sport changed. And we've seen people walk away, like you said.
Yeah, and he was very emotional after that Utah loss, and it kind of makes way more sense now. And we have seen over the last couple of years, even in college basketball, some of the, you know, quote unquote, old school coaches, when this new era of college sports has come around, a lot of them have said, I'm not dealing with this. Roy Williams, Jay Wright, you know, Krzyzewski. And I understand two of those guys were older, but Jay Wright really wasn't. You know, Chris Kleiman's only 58, and there's a lot of these guys like, I don't want to operate in this new climate, or it's way too mentally draining and stressful and all that. We'll get back to this, guys. Patrick Mahomes is at the podium, but I want to talk more about Chris Kleiman and Colin Klein in a bit.
Yeah, I think more than anything, we just got to execute at a higher level, and I thought we've done a lot of good things, but at the same time, we made a lot of mistakes that we haven't been able to overcome, and so we got to be better in those bigger moments, not make those mistakes, and at the end of the day, go prove it. You got to prove it on game day, and that's something that I believe we can do.
You guys could have three backup linemen against Texas. Get your confidence in some of these guys that have to step in.
Yeah, I mean, they're guys that have played, and so obviously we'll go through the week and see where we're at with the guys that are a little banged up, but you got to give the respect where it's deserved, and those guys have a great defensive line, and so we'll try to do the best we can as getting the ball out of my hand, running the football, and then whenever there's shots down the field, you got to be able to hit them, and so standing in the pocket, making those throws against a really good defense.
You mentioned that every season's different, so now that you guys are in this spot, can you rely on past years' experience to things to help pull you out of these certain intangibles you need to see?
Yeah, I mean, you can utilize some things. I mean, we've played a lot of big games, and so knowing that the speed of the game speeds up and the moment's bigger, and you got to settle yourself and go out there and play your best football. But I mean, I don't know if we've been in this situation this early in the season, and so I think just learning from it together, building together, and then using what we can use from prior seasons to hopefully make a run at this thing and try to get ourselves in the playoffs and see where we can go from there.
You mentioned after the game just that you guys have been in every game. Is there something specific you can work on in those bigger moments, or just have to let the natural game flow of what you work on normally play out?
Yeah, I mean, you can learn from it, but at the end of the day, you got to make the plays. And that stuff that we haven't done consistently enough. There's been games we have and we've won, and there's been games when we haven't. Just having to make those plays in the big moments will get you those wins.
But you've, Patrick, in previous postseasons, you've made it very clear that you want to use your legs and be more of a dual threat. Is that something you're going to have to sort of engage on Sunday, given the just the dire situation you guys are in?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to utilize them, utilize everything, not just my legs. I mean, you got to utilize everything you have to go out there and win. I mean, this is a really good football team that's playing really good football right now and has a really good defense. And so we're going to have to throw it all out there and try to find a way to win. And this will be a big game for us to showcase who we are and who we think we can be moving on the rest of the season.
Patrick, we've heard from Creed and Andy, they always say close. You guys are close. Mm-hmm. What signs do you see?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at every game that we've lost this year, we've been right in it up until the end, but we haven't made those plays, and so we're definitely close. But like I've kind of said these last few weeks, you can be close, but you can't be close for too long. You got to go out there and make it happen, and I think we have the guys to do that, but we got to go out there and prove it, and there's another opportunity for us to go out there and prove it this weekend.
What was it like, you know, you guys had some time off. Is there time off for you? Were you in coach's ear talking about game plan stuff already, or did you – actually kind of shut it down for a little while and get away from football?
Yeah, I mean, I always talking to coach. So, I mean, obviously we're in a spot in the season where you can have some time off, but you're looking ahead at how to get yourself better to try to make a run. And I'll talk to all the coaches about things that I see and things that I think we can continue to get better and better at. But at the end of the day, they're gonna do what's best for us and put us in the best situation to succeed. And I'll give as much input as I can to help with that. But I trust that they're gonna go out there and put us in the right position.
You mentioned Houston's defense. What's the biggest challenge with what you see when you look at them so far?
Yeah, you got to match their intensity. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, obviously the D line's good, the linebackers are good, and the DBs are good. But I think what makes them who they are is how hard they play. Every single snap, they're flying around and they're trying to make plays happen. They're trying to intercept the football. They're trying to knock the football out. They're trying to make big hits. And so we got to match that intensity as an offense and as a team in order to go out there and get a win.
How tough has this been to go through for the veterans, guys who've had expect success, have had so much success?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough in the sense that we like to win. I mean, I know we all know it's a process, and we all know that we have to just continue to give ourselves a chance and continue to get better. But when you have a lot of guys that like to win, and it's tough when you lose. And so we'll continue to push. I think that's one thing that makes us great is that no one's hanging their head. Everybody's ready to go out there and try to prove ourselves this next week. And this is another great opportunity. It's a great opportunity at Arrowhead to showcase that who we think, like I said, who we think we can be the rest of this season. But it's going to start with Sunday.
Patrick, Creed Humphrey has been the one constant on your offensive line the last 2 years. What do you think of when you think of Creed?
Yeah, he's a leader, man. He's someone that he knows what it takes in order to go out there and have success, and he pushes other guys to match that level. And a great person, but a great football player and a great leader on this team. And I'm glad that's the guy that's going to lead in that offensive line.
Okay, thanks, Patrick.
All right, so pretty brief there from Patrick Mahomes. You know, look, I'll say this. We're at the point now when after week of kind of being in the same spot in the struggles.
Yeah, we're close. We're close. Yeah,
I mean, there's only so much to say. There's only so much to say at this point in time.
It's like I both agree and I disagree because you can't argue that in every single game they've lost this year, they could have made one play in the fourth quarter and won all of them. They lost all of them.
Right.
But they could have, well, they won the Colts one. They lost most of them.
Well, they're 1-5, right, in one score games. Yeah, or 1-6 now, whatever it is.
They have not been there. But like Mahomes saying, like, are there some things that we can do it? Right now, the starting offensive line against, as a reminder, the number one defense in the NFL with an elite level defensive line would go as follows: Wanye Morris, Kingsley Suamataia, Creed Humphrey, Mike Caliendo, and Jalen Moore. That's bleak. That's bleak.
Yes,
now,
it is.
I will say Jalen Moore, I don't think, is a massive downgrade from what they were getting out of Jawan Taylor.
He might be your right tackle next year anyway.
Yeah, so like that I'm okay with. It's probably more like playing with two backup offensive linemen, but the backup left tackle is the third dude. We're down to third string over there. And so that's starting to get far enough down the list that you're like, oh boy. Like, you do start talking yourself into, like, are you sure? I've watched Wanye Morris play quite a bit of football. And you guys watch him practice, admittedly. Are you confident Esop wouldn't play better? Like, are you confident, Chiefs? Look, people get evaluations of players wrong all the time. We've talked about this. I'm just saying, are they like 100% sure that wouldn't be better?
You're right. People get evaluations wrong. I'll just say he obviously did not make the Chiefs initially out of camp. Then he got signed to the practice squad for the Jets, if I'm not mistaken. Then the Jets moved on from him. And then he got signed to the Chiefs practice squad, and he's just now getting signed to the roster. People miss all, but It's not, I'm just saying.
And, but I'm not talking about like they missed him between like, is he better than Juwan Taylor? I'm talking about I've watched Wanya Morris play quite a bit of left tackle on this team.
They made that decision in training camp.
But they're making that decision based on practices. And I think sometimes that's where you make the mistake. Some guys are better game players than they are practice players.
Sure, but I don't know. I mean, we could ask Ross Tucker this next week. Like, you're right. Some people perform better on game day, but I don't know anybody that's not highly touted and drafted that just gets to start after practicing bad football and then just gets an opportunity to start unless they're literally forced to. Wanya Morris gets hurt and he's forced to play and then he looks great. I don't know anybody else that can have a terrible practice that's an undrafted player that just gets to start. That doesn't happen.
No, I'm not. I don't think he'll actually has any chance. I'm just saying, let's just say this is more of a, we're halfway through the game and Wanya Morris is a turnstile. Man's getting
right, fair
beat
enough.
Like a damn drum. Mm. And we're sitting here. I'm sorry. You
then
can't
I'm open
just
to any idea. Yeah.
I'm not like married to it is what I'm saying.
I'm with you there.
You want to give Wanya the start? By all means. But do not get halfway through the game and be like, Wanya's our guy. Like, no. There's a level of give me somebody else. Give me a physical athlete. And let's just pray.
Yeah. But because does Poole know the offense too? That's a whole other thing. Hadn't been with the team very much.
Are we in the situation where I don't know how bad Juwan's injury is, but it's like, hey, dude, this is the biggest game of the season.
Oh yeah,
I don't care if it's 75%. We need you to play, and Juwan Taylor be out there at right tackle, and they put Jalen Moore at left. And look, you give us your all, Juwan, and if we got to pull you because you're hurt, then we got to pull you because you're hurt. But we need you to play in this game because we have no other choice.
Sure,
that makes sense.
Nate was mentioning this from the locker room. Like, Juwan Taylor was where he called it he called it a contraption. He had some funky contraption on his tricep elbow.
I don't care if he's half RoboCop out like, there. I'm kind of with Drew.
Yeah, but goes back to like even the Darren Peterson conversation. I'm not going to pull a Eric Winston on you, but like, if they can't physically play, they can't physically play.
Let's say 75%. If it was the NCAA tournament, I think it's a little bit different because it's college, but let's say Darren Peterson is in the NBA and he's in the playoffs. They're not going to pull him because he's at 75%. He's playing.
For game one of a seven-game series, they might. I just saw it happen last year in the postseason.
I brought up
Darren Peterson, but then you continued with the Darren Peterson thing, and then when I responded with, you brought up the NBA, and I said it happened, then you said we can't talk about
it. If this is the national title game, Darren Peterson is playing at 65%. I think that for in some way, shape, or form, this is the game. This is it for the Chiefs. So it feels like, look, if they have to go in a different direction, then fine. But it feels like if Juwan can go at all, at any percent, then he should go. And if he has to get pulled, then fine. But I think at least he should be out there.
I don't disagree.
Above 65 or 70%, he should be out there.
They might have to play a player that they wouldn't typically play. Like, that they would wait a week.
I think what we're describing, though, plausible. Is like, to me, yes. I think the Juwan Taylor injury is different. Like, what we're describing is, hey, a guy's banged up and he's 85%. He should play. I'm with you. I'm telling you that based on what Nate Taylor was saying yesterday, like, physically, he may not be able to be like effective and play right tackle in the National Football League because his arm and elbow is shot. Yeah. Like, that's...
You're saying if he just can't play, he can't play.
Yeah.
But I think there's a part of, like, this is always the question people ask with injuries. What percentage does Juwan Taylor have to be better than Wanya Morris? That's really the question we're asking here.
Yes.
Is 80% of Juwan Taylor better than 100% of Wanya Morris?
And what's the pain tolerance? Like,
yeah.
Call people soft all you want, but like, that is part of the equation. Can he play through the pain that exists? Everybody's pain tolerance is different.
So that's always the part. That's what we'll have to figure out. That's what they'll have to figure out by Sunday. I will say, I think that this is a rare occurrence in which... If Juwan Taylor doesn't practice by Friday, I still think there's a chance he could play. In any other circumstance, in an Andy Reid-led team, if you don't practice by Friday, your ass ain't getting on the field unless you're Patrick Mahomes, right? They don't even give veteran discounts on those, right? If you're not available to practice by the end of the week, we won't be seeing you on Sunday. This might be one of the few times, Gold, where I think they might at least somewhat entertain it. They're going to have to be willing to pull a ripcord if it's just going like south and like south in an irredeemable way for Wanya, One knee in particular. They got no choice. Jalen Moore's playing. So, like,
yeah, I mean,
even if he's getting worked over by Will Anderson.
Offensively, though, offensively in the Andy Reid era, in game, I only remember one other time. What was it, a year or two ago when it got so bad that they pulled out what's his name? Yeah, for mid game or whatever. For, you know, and then there was also Juwan Taylor for like two drives. Those are the only time I've ever seen that happen with Andy Reid.
Sadly, twice in the last like 3 years.
Well, that's
so
the O-line issues,
some recent examples of when they've had it. And look, for the longest time, what we talked about.
I hope Juwan Taylor practices tomorrow. I'm just saying, I don't think it's as simple as like, oh, he's just a little banged up. I think he had a serious elbow and tricep injury.
Wanya Morris, and this is why somebody asked again, why do it like this? Neither guy has played much right tackle in the NFL, Jalen Moore or Wanya Morris. But Wanya Morris, they must think when they're playing these snaps that he is not comfortable at right tackle. I think if Juwan Taylor plays a right tackle, it's a no-doubter that Moore is going to be the left tackle, and we know that. Wanya is just, he's probably just more comfortable.
And Jalen Moore likely is the right tackle next year. So that's where they plan, that's where they view him.
Someone said a six-man line. Honestly, they
have an extra lineman or just have Robert Tonyan in constantly.
They don't do a lot of chips. They don't do a lot of max protect. Nate Taylor just talked about this. This is where I would like Andy to accept that they have to do something different this time. And I saw the same stats. It's actually a really good point. Chiefs ran really well under center again, right? Continuously. But what we keep forgetting about the fact that they're good at running under center is, you know what they're not good at doing under center? Passing. They're significantly worse. And so what's happened here is they know how to run under center, but it's hurting their passing game. And these games in which they have to score, they're trying to figure out who to help. And they'd rather help Patrick Mahomes.
But you're describing, though,
than do the other.
That goes into an Andy Reid, Matt Nagy game plan and scheme type of thing. If you're telling me that under center, they struggle to find ways to have an effective passing game as well.
They're not.
That's a coaching element.
They had like two passing attempts in that game under center, and neither were anywhere close. On the season, they are significantly worse statistically, QBR, any of the advanced metrics you want under center passing than they are in shotgun. So, like, if you're saying, why do they run shotgun more? It's because they're better at passing the football in shotgun, the more important part of the game. They ran under center in one specific drive against Dallas in which they ran six carries for 42 yards on a touchdown drive. They only ran it under center the rest of the game, two or three times. And you're like, but this doesn't make any sense. They cut it because they had to pass and they don't know how to pass under center. And I don't disagree with you, Gold, that is a bit of an indictment on the coaching this season. But you also know, and you've said this too, on December 3rd, it is hard to be like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to scheme up a new under center pass game.
Yeah, it's too late for
that. Yeah, you can't fix that now.
It's too late.
You can fix it in an offseason if you want. You can work on some offseason stuff, but you can't fix it now. It's just, it doesn't work that way. That's all. It's an interesting year for the Chiefs, man. From the 913, our O-line is insanely overrated. When healthy or now? Because I don't think anyone's rating it in any
way. When Trey Smith was healthy and Josh Simmons was on the field, we had the Juwan Taylor discussion a couple times, but the offensive line was more than serviceable when they had the full complement.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, overrated isn't, are they one of the five best offensive line in football? Probably debatable. But I'll tell you right now, when healthy, they're one of the 10 best. With Simmons and Juwan and Creed and Trey.
Kingsley's been good.
Kingsley.
Yeah, Kingsley has been very good at left guard.
The advanced, like, they're one of the 10 best. Are they an elite level offensive line? Are they the Denver Broncos offensive line? No. They had a chance to be that, I thought, if everything came to fruition. But Juwan Taylor can't get out of his own way. And this year, they've been hurt again. They survived for like the first half of the season when they weren't winning games healthy on the offensive line. And that's why letting those Jags games go or when you were healthier feels so much worse. That's why those feel so much worse. Because now you're starting two starting offensive linemen from the beginning of the year. I guess three if you count Jalen Moore, but
yeah, they, for the first 11 weeks, they were maybe the healthiest team in football. And now it's got them at the worst possible time. And must win games. And to your point about the ones that they let get away earlier on in the season. All right, up next, we're expected to be joined by Matthew Berry from FantasyLife.com, also from DraftKings. Missouri launched sports wagering on Monday. We'll get some thoughts from him, bigger picture, including the Chiefs, I think, are now like 18-1 to win the Super Bowl or something like that. So we'll ask him about that. And we'll talk a little KU, UConn, MU, Notre Dame next.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up in about 8 minutes, Matthew Berry from DraftKings. MatthewBerryFantasyLife.com. Expected to join us. We'll talk a little betting, a little fantasy football, also just the NFL as a whole and the launch of sports wagering in the state of Missouri. That means we'll move the random question of the day to the 1 o'clock hour right after we talk to Josh Klingler, who will be on the sideline for Chiefs Texans. Definitely want to ask his thoughts on the offensive line heading into this game against that Texans team and just where he's at. Maybe he was in the locker room too. So what does he make of the chances of Juwan Taylor being effective if in fact, or whether or not he's able to play, but is he effective as well at that position? So that's coming up in just a bit. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. All right, let's briefly get into something that we were planning on talking about very early in the show today, but of course the breaking news of the day with Colin Klein expected to become the next head coach at K-State after Chris Klieman is expected to step down. A press conference again today at 4 o'clock, at least to announce the retirement part. I don't know if we'll get the official head coach hiring part, but today will probably just be the climbing news, and then they'll probably move on from there. Maybe, I'm not sure. We'll find out. Gene Taylor, the AD, is expected to speak as well. But last night you had two locals in action: KU UConn, MU Notre Dame. Both lose after having the lead at halftime.
Yeah, both in control of the game, I would even argue, and then letting them slip away. Now, in fairness, MU's was on the road. Kansas was at home, so maybe a slight difference at least in there.
Kansas was against a top five team, but yeah.
So look, Missouri's is pretty simple. They ran into the similar problems Kansas did. They couldn't control the action late. They got sloppy with the basketball and they couldn't hit a shot. Like, there's not a real mystery in there. I think MU is a fringe tournament team, similar to how I felt K-State was at some point, but MU's going to play a lot better, more consistently in order to get there. They're just kind of stuck in the middle at the moment. The Kansas-UConn game, that was a top 21, I guess, top 25 matchup between the two teams last night. I know Kansas was without Darren Peterson, but UConn was out with one of their stars,
Reed
too.
Reed was out, yeah.
So I thought that relatively equal footing, even though one's the fifth team in the country, one's the 21st team in the country, and Kansas controlled the action. Their problem is the same problem they're going to have even when Darren Peterson comes back. Who scores besides Darren Peterson consistently? Because yesterday at half, they could not hit a shot. To save their life, they couldn't hit a shot. They had times in the last 2 minutes of the game, they still could have won the game.
The first nine and a half.
Couldn't hit a shot. It was embarrassing.
First 9.5 minutes of the second half, they had one field goal. They ended up with five field goals in the second half. Now, look, Darren Peterson on the floor actually makes things easier for everybody else on the floor as well.
Like maybe they'll be better scorers.
And they're probably not having a 9 minute stretch with one field goal. But yeah, the offense without him is a major problem. I thought, you know, in general for them too. They couldn't rebound the basketball. A lot of second chance opportunities in the second half for UConn. Canada's 56 points, the fewest by KU in Allen Fieldhouse since 2020, and that was also when they lost to a top five team in the Bill Self era. So, like, no kidding,
was that
right?
Houston?
Like,
I'm just curious because Houston.
Baylor.
Okay.
But if I tell you any team's only scoring 56, your chances of winning is not going to be great. So no surprise to hear that. Badunga, White, and Tiller combined for 23 points. That's your issue right there. From your top three players when Peterson's not on the floor, combined for 23.
You're a Kansas fan, so I can ask you, or you can tell me on the text line 913-586-7965. Or as always, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We live stream the show. We can take your answers over there as well. He doesn't play on Sunday, Darren Peterson. Are we it is bordering on the, I don't believe you, Bill. Some part of this is wrong. Either you're saying he's close and Darren has to feel confident because you're trying to put pressure on him to get on the court and he actually is fine to play. You'd like him to play, but he's protecting his, you know, future number one overall pick status and trying to be careful with an injury. And he's got people telling him, hey, man, don't get on a court too soon. Or you really are just saying, no, I want him to be at 100%, which doesn't feel like the energy for me. I feel like this is going to turn on Darren Peterson pretty quick because Bill Self keeps using the number 95%. People are going to say to the kid, hey, you're 95%, get on the court. They're going to stop. And it feels like Self is setting him up in that way where if he doesn't get on the court either Sunday or the game after that, then the pressure is going to really like crank up on Peterson to like play for this team because they're losing to a lot of big time opponents. Big wins they could have for their tournament seeding and everything else right now because they can't get Peterson on the court healthy.
So I will certainly be frustrated even more and worried if he doesn't play Sunday against Missouri. Now, after the game last night, Bill Self said, quote, he's 90-95%, but I've said all along I'm not going to play him until he's 100%. And then he kind of expanded on that and mentioned, like, you know, basically that Darren Peterson also has to feel comfortable, and that's the part that you're talking about as well. Look, I've been on the opposite side, I think, of a lot of KU fans on this whole Darren Peterson thing. I think Rob and I disagree on this. And I if you tell me that he's not actually 100%, I told you I would not play him until he's 100%. It is about Big 12 play. It is about the NCAA tournament. We're talking about a soft tissue injury. I want him to be 100%. If that is all we're talking about, then I have no issue with how anybody is handling this. If it turns out that he's basically 100%, but he just is really, really concerned about playing for his own future, that's a whole different conversation. I think, you know, like I see a lot of,
and which you can't blame the kid necessarily, but
like
the team.
A lot of people in the, I don't care whether you're an MU fan or a K-State fan, everybody has like that social media group for their fan base. Like, so the KU, like three or four Twitter
and
accounts.
It's always toxic. And
people are making like smart ass comments like, oh, is anybody else only 95% today and not going to work? Like, that stuff annoys me because I think it's just one.
Are you 100%?
I haven't
been 100% in a very long time.
That stuff drives me crazy though, because maybe you're just trying to be a smart ass about it on Twitter and get a few likes. Maybe that's all that person was trying to do. But in general, I don't think that's what's actually going on. I will change my tune a little bit if he doesn't play on Monday or on Sunday against Mizzou, because I think then it's like, okay, how was he really, really close to sitting out there? But I am firm on this. If he's not 100%, I don't want him playing until conference play either. As much as I want to, as a fan, see him play. With Darren Peterson, they win last night. I agree.
Yeah.
But also, they win last night, and then we find out today, he re-aggravated it. Then what good was him playing last night if that's the case?
I guess it's fine if he only misses a month again, because the next three games are NC State, Towson, and Davidson after Missouri. And so that's the part where at some point, like, if you feel 95%, you might be more close to 100% than you think, and that the injury is not going to continue to bother you, and you can't know until you get out on the court and play. Like, Bill Self made it sound like he was going to practice in full, regular, the rest of this week. He made it sound like that in postgame. And it's just like, part of me is like, if you don't play him in the Missouri game, well then, yeah, I guess no point in rolling him out there against NC State and Towson and Davidson, like I previously mentioned. And I guess save him for UCF and conference play after the calendar turns over before you really start getting into the top 25 matchup.
Fans don't want to hear it, but if you tell me that's what it takes to give him the best path to not get re-injured, then I don't care if he doesn't play till January. Honestly.
Yeah.
The seeding doesn't matter in the sense that you can win the national championship from a 3 or 4 seed if Darren Peterson is the truth. You know, like,
they can win from a 6 seed if they do it. It'd be harder, but they could do it.
With him, they're a national title contender. Without him, they have zero chance to do that.
I'm not even sure they're a weekend two team.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, second weekend team without Darren Peterson. And again,
I think the long-term benefit, like, I hope, look, this is, you can say I'm rose-colored glasses KU alum here. The long-term benefit, there's a chance, Cody, the fact that he's not playing right now can end up being very beneficial for this team come January and February, assuming he comes back, right? He comes back, you know, what White is being able to do and Tiller and some of the playing time these guys are getting without him is going to be really beneficial for them. But that requires Darren Peterson coming back and playing.
If this does actually somehow turn out to be a, well, Darren's kind of looking out for his, if it turns into that sort of a thing.
Yeah, it's a different conversation.
I can't blame him, the person.
No, no, but no, you should be blaming, I think, because of Turk College basketball, the NBA and their rules about you being able to go to the league and go pro, because I think it would solve a lot of the problem. If it would lower the top tier talent, the elite talent, like Devonso wouldn't be playing, Darren Peterson wouldn't be in the NBA and all these other things, but you would know that there is a dedication to, I'm not just here because I have to be here sort of thing. Not that that's what Darren Peterson's doing, but if it does come across as, well, he's managing because he wants to make sure that he doesn't do anything that's going to prohibit him from being picked top of the draft or hurt himself long term, whatever the case is, then that turns into a conversation of college basketball has to figure its stuff out in terms of these things, because you're dedicating essentially resources as a top tier program to get a player that in some way you really don't know how far in they actually are to the program with these one and dones. And it's kind of always been that way. But I think if we're at the point now where a guy is making sure that he's not playing unless he is truly 100%, or he's hedging himself kind of to make sure he doesn't hurt himself further, then we're really getting into a problematic thing, I believe.
Here's the only argument where I think it's problematic, in the sense that I wouldn't blame the kid for saying, hey, I'm going to be number one overall pick in the, but I used to say that a lot more before they were a paid employee. His ass is getting paid to work now. Like, you know, it's like in my opinion, it's like, it's just a little different than it was before. He's getting a couple million bucks to show up on the court. It's not the way it used to be, Gold. We've talked about this. We talk about young athletes different now. They're paid employees.
I understand. I just
job's the job. No, I get it. I'm just saying from the protection.
I get irritated with, and I know you guys were just talking about the hypothetical if that was the case, but like I get annoyed with people. Way too many people, I think have taken as gospel that, like, oh, well, he just doesn't really want to play. And that annoys me because there's no factual basis behind that at this point.
Sure.
To suggest that's the case, to suggest that he doesn't want to be, like, even if you're going with the draft stock angle, you don't think he wants to play on a nationally televised game against Duke or UConn? Because that'll help him as well. Like, it's not a guarantee he's the number one overall pick. You're telling me that he wouldn't want that. So
I
think people assuming Darren Peterson is not playing for X reason is incorrect at this point. But we'll see if on Sunday when Kansas and Missouri play at T-Mobile Center in that rivalry game, if he's available. All right, let's talk some football. Let's talk about what happened on Monday. I know you're excited. You're on the Missouri side, so you had to wait a couple years for this. Sports wagering has launched in Missouri. Let's go out to the phones and welcome in Matthew Berry. You guys see him, of course, on Sunday Night Football. He's part of DraftKings. He's got Matthew Berry Fantasy life.com as well. Matthew Berry with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Matthew, great to have you on the show. This is an exciting week for a lot of people in Kansas City because they've been driving maybe from the Missouri side to the Kansas side for a couple of years, but no more.
No, they aren't. Thanks so much. Yeah, you know, I'm working with DraftKings and my friends that I've worked with for years and years and years, and we're so excited that as of December 1st, sports betting live and legal in Missouri. DraftKings is offering, they've got a great new promo. New customers that sign up, you bet $5, you get $300 in bonus bets instantly. So hopefully you get that $300 in bonus bets, you take my advice, and you take even more of DraftKings money. I always recommend please bet responsibly, but it's really fun, and it gives you a rooting interest. Like, you know, I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and he was talking about how, you know, he's in Missouri, and he had put money down on Monday night on the Monday night game. You know, and you might be like, Patriots, Giants, like, you know, who really cares? Like, all right, I'll check it out, but maybe not the sexiest of games. But when you've got Patriots -7.5, now it's interesting. Now it's fun. Now you're rooting along. So it's just a really fun, enjoyable way to engage with the games, all the sports. They have a ton of markets as well. So highly recommend everyone just checking out DraftKings and seeing all the things that they have to offer. It's a great, if you're a sports fan, it's a way to enjoy sports even more.
As you can imagine here with the Chiefs, the talk is whether or not they're getting in the playoffs or not, and whether or not, you know, people are seeing for the first time in years, Matthew, that 17-18-1 for the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. What do you make of the Chiefs right now and their chances of getting hot here in the final five?
Yeah, I mean, look, you never can count out the Chiefs, like, obviously, right? You know what I mean? Like, but man, it's what's the phrase? It's getting late early.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, we've always sort of like with the Chiefs last year was one of those things where it's like, well, they're not playing well, but they're getting away with it. They're kind of like, they were eking out wins, and sort of getting there. Right. But then after the Super Bowl, right. This is what I said. I did a bunch of press the week of Super Bowl. I did my show live from Radio Row and I did a bunch of press. And people were asking me, like, who do you think? And I'm like, listen, I think the Eagles are the better team, but the Chiefs have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and as long as you've got a better coach and a better quarterback, I think they win. So I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, and obviously they got their ass kicked. And so since that time, the Chiefs have just seemed human. You've got a team in Houston coming to town that is the second-best team in the NFL in pressure rate. They got to Josh Allen, who's as good at avoiding pressure as anyone in the NFL, and they got to him 8 times that Thursday night game. And so now you guys – the Chiefs' offensive line is obviously so beat up. If there's a positive here, I think the schedule works out nicely for the Chiefs after this week, right? They get the Chargers at home. They're on the road at the Titans. They're home to the Broncos, and then they're at the Raiders. So after this week, the only game that scares me as a Chiefs fan would be the Broncos game, and I think that game being at home at Arrowhead, I think you guys I don't think the Broncos are as good as they've shown. I think they're a good team, but I think they've sort of gotten away with a few. And so I think you guys have a chance because you've got Andy Reid and Mahomes, and I'll always say that, right? As long as you've got 15 and Andy Reid, you'll always have a chance. But it is getting late early. They need to win this week, I think.
Obviously, the Chiefs' offensive line injuries are piling up. How do they avoid, or I guess what's the over-under on Texans sacks this weekend? How do they avoid the kind of games they've had a couple times this year where they got Josh Allen 8 times or whatever the hell it was?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's going to be – they've got to run the ball well, right? I mean, it's nice that you guys got Pacheco back last week. He was used a little bit, but it's going to have to be – I think it's going to have to be a big Kareem and Isaiah game. I think you guys are going to have to run the ball quickly, going to get out a shotgun, and you have to get rid of the ball quickly. I think this is an important game for Kelce as well. Right, and just for doing all the things that Andy Reid does so well in terms of motion at the line of scrimmage, getting the ball out quickly, trying to create mismatches. But that's the way you beat a team like the Texans, I believe, is taking that pressure off. The other thing that I think is important here, because so much talk, I'm sure, has been about the offensive line issues and just how good that defense of the Texans, especially the defensive line, is, because it is a great defense. But I think the Chiefs' defense needs to show up. I think it's been an inconsistent year for Chris Jones, and I think you need a big game from him, and I think you need a big game from the Chiefs defense. They need to step up here because when C.J. Stroud is under pressure, he starts seeing ghosts. He starts getting the yips. We saw it last year. We've seen it some this year as well. Their offensive line isn't strong either, and so I think if you guys can get home to Stroud, you guys have a really good chance here because they're not that good at running the ball, the Texans are. And they've managed to basically win these games by playing good defense and scoring just enough. So I think if the Chiefs defense shows up here, I think the Chiefs offense will do enough to bring home the victory. Chiefs are favored by 3.5, by the way, in this one.
We're talking to Matthew Berry. He joins us courtesy of DraftKings. He mentioned the spread. Of course, in Missouri, you can bet on the game this Sunday in Missouri. And also, if you're going out to Arrowhead for the first time, Cody, we're going to be able to be at Arrowhead and make a live bet. That's going to be a lot of fun. Matt, I can't have you on without talking a little fancy football as well. If you're someone that's getting ready for the postseason, maybe you're alive still in a guillotine league, how do you handle this Eagles offense at this point in time? Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown on your roster, are they still must start?
I think Jalen Hurts is. I get the question, obviously. But I think Jalen Hurts is a must start. I don't know that you have better options than him, than Jalen Hurts, right? I mean, like, they're so good, right? And then, in terms of A.J. Brown, he's actually been really good the last couple of weeks. It's one of those things in fantasy football, what you try to do, what you always try to do is like, hey, what's the most likely thing that happens? All you're doing is playing the odds, right? It's true in sports betting as well, but like in fantasy football, like, none of us can predict the future, and so you're just trying to minimize your risk and what's the most thing that's likely to happen. Jalen Hurts is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, both fantasy and real life. I think he's a better fantasy quarterback than real-life quarterback, but either way, he's in the upper half of quarterbacks, and he's a top-five fantasy quarterback. And A.J. Brown's a top 15 wide receiver, I think, talent-wise NFL, and I think, you know, fantasy-wise, he's probably top 20. They're playing the Chargers this week. They're on the road there. And, you know, the Chargers will take these chances on defense. So, yes, I think Jalen Hurts is a must-start. I think A.J. Brown is a likely start unless you have just incredible options. It sort of depends on who you have. And this will give you a chance to allow me to say, check out my rankings at NBCSports.com, RotoWorld.com, to find out where I rank all these guys.
Do you feel like we have to make an annual plea to teams this year to be like, hey, I still need you to make a starting lineup against somebody I need to lose so I can make my way into the playoffs? Do we need to do that annually, or at this point we just need to kick out members who don't want to play all the way through?
Well, I think actually what you should do is, you know, and you just referenced it, or your co-host just referenced it, right, is that you need to join a guillotine league. That's one of the brilliance of guillotine leagues. And so for people who are unfamiliar, you can sign up for free at guillotineleagues.com. It's an unbelievable website that I have a piece of. And the premise of guillotine leagues, it's a normal fantasy football league, but the two twists are you join a league like normal. At the end of the week, the team with the lowest score in the league gets cut. They're chopped. They're dead. Their life is, you know, their season's over. And then the other twist is that all the players on the team that got chopped go back into the free agent pool. So it's week 14 and like Patrick Mahomes is on the waiver wire along with like Christian McCaffrey and Jackson Smith and Jigba. Like, it's crazy. Like, there's superstars on the waiver wire every single week. And so it's a super exciting way to play. It's so much fun because every week could be your last. But that's just the brilliance of it for situations like you're describing. Like, you know, sometimes just, it ain't my year. I got a couple of bad picks. I've had some bad injuries, a couple of close losses, you know, but I feel like I should still set my team for competitive balance. No. In guillotine leagues, when you're done, you're done. You don't have to worry about it. There's no fuss, no muss. And that everyone else that's in the league is competing because they're still alive. Every week could be their last. And so I think it is the best way to play fantasy football. I played it for the first time a few years ago, and I loved it so much I literally bought the company. And and what I'll say is that the other thing that's great about it is that because you're not playing head-to-head, because it's literally just who can survive the longest, right? You know, you can start a league at any time. Like, you could do a draft right now. You go to guillotineleagues.com and sign up and do a draft right now. We have public leagues that you can sign up and just join other people for free. Or if you want to have a private league with your friends, any size can work as long as there's more players in the league than weeks left in the season. So that's all you need, right? Yeah. And so we're in week 14. So, you know, you have a 5-person league. You know, you can do a 10-person league if you want, because we have the option to have two teams chopped per week. But, you know, as long as you got four other friends, you can start a league today. It's really fun. I highly recommend everyone try it.
Yeah, we're a big fan of the Guillotine League. It's fun to see Jahmyr Gibbs available this week, and there's only two people in our league that have money left. So it'll be fun to see how that plays out. Matthew Berry, kind enough to join us here on a Wednesday. Sports wagering launched on Monday in Missouri, and he joins us courtesy of DraftKings. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, my pleasure, guy. Good luck, guys, and good luck to the Chiefs on Sunday. I'll see you there. I'll be at Arrowhead.
Oh, there we go.
I'll be at Arrowhead this Sunday, and I'll be at the DraftKings Sportsbook there at Arrowhead during the day, Sunday afternoon. So hopefully people come by and say hi.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll see you there. There you go. Matthew Berry with us here on 96.5 The Fan. I forgot, obviously, Sunday Night Football. I didn't know if the whole crew was coming. You know, sometimes they have the pregame show on-site or not on-site. So that's cool. Okay.
He'll be here.
Full Sunday Night crew for a massive, massive game for both the Texans and the Chiefs. And I am looking forward to Sunday for the first time being at Arrowhead, and the Chiefs get down early or they're up early. You just got a vibe on a player that's about to get a touchdown. You can fire off a live bet. And yes, please bet responsibly.
It's nice to change it up a little bit. And you've been saying for a while, you want to be at a Royals game and you know, be able to make see something that happens and
it'll be fun.
Make a selection.
In my guillotine league, seriously, Jahmyr Gibbs is available and there's only two of us that have money.
Who's got the most? Man.
We both have the identical amount of money.
I'd spend every dollar.
$69 we both have left.
It's been every dollar. I would bid $69.
I'm not doing that. Because my roster, I don't need that. I need to save it for the next week.
You're good on running backs?
No, I'm putting in a bid.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler, because I think the person is a listen. I will not be bidding $69. You bid $69, you'll get them, but you'll have no money left. I can get.
But then everyone will have no money, you know?
I'll have money.
How many weeks are left?
Well, it goes till the end of week seven, whoever's left standing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's four of us left. I'm in the final four.
I don't know, man. God, the temptation.
Amon Ra's on my team. That's a problem. Anyway, nobody cares about my fantasy football team. All right, up next, Josh Klingler is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Texans and the Chiefs. He'll be on the sideline, and we'll get to a little random question of the day right here on Cody and Gold.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.